Views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, I have Commissioner Bruhn with the Department of Natural Resources on the phone with me. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, David. How are you?
Doing well. There's that little pause there. I'm going, oh, man, I hope I didn't lose him. You know, technology, this North Korean setup technology that Perry Wally has made me work under, sometimes I lose phone calls. So in case I lose you, please call back. Anyway, how's Anchorage doing?
Anchorage is doing well. We were basking under sunny skies today.
Well, so it's, you know, March is a beautiful month. I just enjoy March so much here in Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau. And you have come out with a program that the governor basically brought out, and that's a carbon credits program. If you'd like to sort of lead into that and tell us what that's about.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to, David, and maybe as just sort of a preliminary matter, it's kind of important to explain to folks what this program and legislation isn't versus what it is. And I guess to start, you know, first, the state is not interested in imposing carbon taxes or imposing, you know, cap and trade sort of regulatory structures on businesses that operate here. You know, we in the state of Alaska want to promote business. We want to promote opportunities. We're not interested in imposing, you know, additional environmental regulations on folks that want to operate here. That being said, we recognize, however, that there are a number of companies that voluntarily, based on, you know, their own shareholder or their own, you know, board of director pressure, want to do more to address emissions of carbon dioxide in their operations. And so really what the state is proposing to do with the legislation that's now moving in Juneau is to create a regulatory framework by which we, the state, can engage with companies that are interested in doing carbon offset projects and provide them opportunities to do those projects here in Alaska, which we feel will diversify the state's revenue streams and enable the state to actually monetize some state resources that, as of today, really aren't heavily monetized. And that could be some of our forested lands that we're not currently utilizing in a timber harvest kind of program, and also our underground reservoirs, you know, geologic formations that are capable of actually storing carbon dioxide.
Commissioner Boyle, I apologize for calling you the DEC Commissioner Bruhn. I apologize.
That's okay. I was going to be polite and not.
It's too many commissioners, but anyway.
That's right.
You know, looking at this, you have, I sort of viewed this as a very good way to manage the land on things you want, because in this statute, in this law, you have additionality. You know, you can go in, you can thin out trees in areas that need to thin it out so you can grow more, get more carbon credits. But also, I was thinking, with our state land and our state forest fires, you can target areas where you could go in and have the person who buys the carbon credits, they go in and they do the additionality, and they can go in and thin out areas that you think are high area for forest fires? Just a thought of mine, I was thinking.
No, and that's exactly right. And I think that's what's really exciting about the prospect of offering or having carbon offset or carbon development projects in forested land, because it could really revolutionize the way that we manage our forests. So, you know, I would say in general right now, Alaska manages its forests, namely by just allowing the forest to just kind of do what they want to do. And then, of course, you know, in the summer months when lightning strikes or, you know, errant fires break out, then, of course, we spend an exorbitant amount of money, you know, addressing, you know, wildfires in the state. But what we don't really do is we don't really think about managing our forests in ways that, one, could increase the amount of carbon that they absorb. So just like you pointed out, a good example of that is in South Central Alaska. You know, for folks that have flown into Anchorage or have driven through, you may have noticed, you know, millions of acres of dead spruce trees that, you know, have all succumbed to the spruce bark beetle.
Yes.
And, you know, our forests in South Central and the Kenai are littered, you know, now with dead trees that have succumbed to that, you know, pestilence. And so in a carbon offset project, you know, a developer could go out to the Susitna Valley and say, you know, I would like to take 50,000 acres and I'm going to go out, we're going to harvest the deadfall, and we're going to, you know, we can utilize some of that to make wood products or biochar or any number of other things that, you know, they may be interested in. And we're going to go out and we're going to aggressively replant the trees. And then after we've done that, we're going to manage that area for us. So we're not just going to allow everything to kind of grow up willy-nilly, but we might, you know, on a regular cycle, go out and thin the trees. So that way, as the trees grow back, you know, the trees that are growing back can grow bigger, they can grow straighter, they can, you know, ultimately turn into higher quality lumber. And, of course, in the process of all that, those trees are absorbing carbon. They're absorbing more carbon than, you know, that acreage may be absorbing more carbon than it would just kind of left in an unmanaged state. And as a result of that, you get that additionality. That is, you're pulling additional tons of carbon out of the atmosphere that wouldn't be, you know, pulled out in a kind of a regular state. And so that project would be, you know, eligible for carbon credits. And then over time, in the management of that, you know, you can include other activities like timber harvesting, so that, you know, as you're cycling through the trees, as they, you know, get a proper age and a proper size, you can actually support, you know, a forest products industry with, you know, building lumber or, you know, other kind of wood product use from these kind of managed stands of forest. So it's really actually a way that could help us revitalize the way that we utilize forests. And that's particularly true, you know, in South Central and in Interior Alaska.
Very true. Very true, Commissioner. And people have to understand that this is a lease. It's not a sale. So this is not in perpetuity. It's for a defined amount of time. So no matter what, we retain the mineral rights. And you're probably just, you know, leasing a specific right, such as the trees or air or something like that. You're protecting the minerals too.
No, that's exactly right. So, you know, part of this program is that if a lessee is interested in managing, you know, let's say a tract of land to, you know, increase its ability to absorb carbon, that's not creating a conservation unit. That's not creating a private property area. So these would still be state lands, state forests that you could hunt in, fish in, cut down trees for firewood, you know, utilize basically in every way that you normally would, ride your snow machine or ATV through it, you know, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, public access and public rights to using these forests, you know, wouldn't be impacted. But, you know, what would be impacted is that there would have to be a management framework in place so that, you know, the amount of trees being harvested in that area don't exceed kind of the limit based on how much carbon, you know, that area is absorbing. But again, everything can be done in balance. And so, you know, one of the common concerns we've heard is, well, what happens if you've set aside a tract of land for a carbon offset project, and you discover a really valuable deposit of minerals on that land? And the answer is, great, because you can actually go and develop those minerals. You know, just to throw out an example, if you have a, you know, large tract of land that you're managing for carbon offset purposes, you know, every year as your trees grow or as new trees grow up, you know, they're absorbing more carbon. So that tract of land every year is going to be absorbing more and more carbon. So if you end up discovering a really valuable source of minerals, you can go in and clear, you know, a certain amount of acres to develop those minerals, because, you know, every year you're kind of building this margin of, hey, I've got additional carbon being absorbed. So if I want to, I can either get more credits as a result of that, or I can, you know, do some development work that actually has a higher value than the credit. So that could be, you know, developing minerals. It could be we want to build a road through here, or so on and so forth.
Commissioner Boyle, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Can you hold over the commercial break with us?
Yes, sir.
Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Ice fishing is great winter fun, if you're prepared. Now, before you make your fishing hole in the ice, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for everything you need to limit out. Rods to tackle, to ice tents, and ice augers. And Frontier Outfitters has the right winter clothing to keep you toasty, warm, and dry. Not to mention your license, guns, ammo, and a wide variety of snowshoes. Your next outdoor adventure is waiting for you. It begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies every Saturday at 5:30 on KFAR Radio with your host, David Pruse, discussing everything food in Fairbanks, from awesome recipes to all of your favorite local restaurants. Brought to you by Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, Hoodoo Brewery, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies and go to the archives page of KFARradio.com to listen to any past episodes. Fairbanks Foodies, Saturdays at 5:30 on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Some amazing things happened in 1904. The underground line of the New York City subway opened, the U.S. Army engineers began work on the Panama Canal, and here in Fairbanks, Samson Hardware opened their doors for the very first time. Since that day, Samson Hardware has helped Fairbanks with their building and home projects from start to finish. They are an institution in Fairbanks. They have an extremely knowledgeable and personal staff, and hard-to-find items you can't find anywhere else here in the Golden Heart City. The reason Samson Hardware has been helping Fairbanks since 1904 is because they helped build Fairbanks. Stop by and let them help you as well. Samson Hardware.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 1 above. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Chance for snow. Lows around 19 below. Daytime highs approaching 4 above. Tomorrow, chance for snow. Low 20s Sunday with a chance for snow near 0 Monday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here. And tomorrow evening, 5:30 to 6 is my show, Fairbanks Foodies. Great show. And this month, we are concentrating on tacos. And tomorrow evening, you'll hear an incredible interview with my friend Nevada Walton on the way she makes tacos. And it's quite a process. But right now, we're talking with the Commissioner of Department of Natural Resources, John Boyle. How you doing, sir?
Doing well. I'm just thinking a lot about tacos now.
It's all about food, sir. Hey, we have a phone call lined up. Are you ready?
Sure.
Excuse me. Good afternoon. You're on KFAR Radio with Commissioner John Boyle, and your name is?
My name's Sean.
Hello, Sean.
Listening to the carbon, blah, 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 carbon this, carbon that, did we all forget, you know, we talk about carbon as if it's a bad thing. Oh, your carbon footprint. We're talking about getting carbon credit and reducing our carbon footprint. Did we all forget fourth grade science that we are carbon-based life forms. It is the basis of all life. We talk about carbon as if it's a bad thing.
Well, no, I did not forget that, and I know that. And we are carbon units, simple as that.
I'm watching. Yeah,
can you hear me still, David?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can, Commissioner. Go ahead and go ahead and respond.
I didn't hear the caller.
Oh, okay.
I just went silent, so.
Okay, what he's saying is, did everyone forget that we're basically carbon units, and all we hear about now is how bad carbon is for you? So that was his point.
That's my point.
Thank you, Sean. Go ahead, sir.
I kind of appreciate the question. I think there's a number of people, right, that fundamentally have concerns about, you know, the sort of steps that various governments or other entities are taking to kind of regulate carbon. And I think those are legitimate concerns. That's a legitimate debate to have. In this case, however, the state's not making a policy declaration on whether carbon is good or bad or we need more or less. It's really about the fact that if companies are willing to pay money in order to, you know,
offset what they do in other locations.
Yeah, offset to what they do in other locations, and they want to help us manage our forests better, or they want to inject CO2 directly underground into reservoirs that are owned by the state, and that provides the state a revenue stream, you know, we're more than happy to facilitate that.
Now, Commissioner, there's this word out there everyone's going to start hearing a lot about in the future, sequestration. Could you explain what that is?
Yeah, so in the terms of the bills that we're looking at, you have what, you know, what you and I have already talked about, your kind of run-of-the-mill carbon offset projects, which is, you know, utilizing forested land, managing it better so that it can absorb more carbon. That also holds true, by the way, for in the mariculture realm, where people may want to lease state tidelands and grow kelp commercially, which would also absorb carbon, and that can be sequestered. But in the context of the other bill that we've introduced, there's a concept of carbon capture, utilization, and storage, where you're actually sequestering. That is, you're storing it, you're imprisoning it, you're trapping it throughout some adjectives under the ground, so that that carbon, you know, stays out of the atmosphere and underground. So, you know, as we all know, Alaska has had a lot of oil and gas activity taking place for, you know, over 50 years now, particularly down in the Cook Inlet. We have a number of geologic basins that are largely depleted. That is, we've, you know, pulled oil and natural gas out of the ground, and now you're sort of left with empty pore space. And those are the kind of areas that could be highly attractive to companies that are interested in taking carbon dioxide out of their operations and injecting that carbon back underground so that it's stored in the same underground reservoirs like natural gases. And so, you know, that's one of the other opportunities that the state is pursuing, is to provide people with that opportunity.
Makes sense to me, my goodness. And but the governor came out with this program. Now, how, you know, we talked about it earlier. How did that come about?
So, you know, the governor's been approached by a number of companies and individuals that are interested in doing carbon offset projects here in Alaska. And there's a recognition that Alaska has a lot of competitive advantage over other jurisdictions, and that, you know, if you want to inject, let's say, CO2 under the ground in a state like Louisiana or Texas or North Dakota, where this kind of activity is already occurring, you might have to deal with, you know, a handful of different landowners and interest owners, because, you know, there's a lot of different land ownership structures. A lot of private individuals in those states not only own the surface of the land, but they own the subsurface. So if you want to inject carbon underground, and that carbon's going to kind of migrate into the same kind of underground pools that oil and gas has found, you may have to deal with a number of individuals and entities in order to, you know, do a carbon offset project. Whereas here in Alaska, we have, you know, state ownership of both the surface land and underground surface estate in really large blocks. So if you're interested in coming up and doing a carbon offset project, you don't need to negotiate with a handful of different people, all of whom may have different kind of ideas of what their land and underground resources are worth. You can just come to the state, and the state can, you know, permit and allow you to you know, inject carbon into the ground, and it really helps simplify that process, you know, for people that are interested in doing that. Same for our forested lands. You know, there's, in the lower 48, very few states have the same amount of forested land base that we do, and, you know, a lot of forests are either privately owned or they're, you know, mix of federal and state and private ownership. Again, here in Alaska, we have vast tracts of forested lands that are all owned by the state. So it just makes it a lot simpler for projects of certain sizes and scales to be implemented here, because you only have to deal with one entity and not a bunch.
There you go. Before we got a few minutes left, but before we go, I want to bring up, thank you. You're the commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, Commissioner Boyle, and I've been working with the State Historic Preservation Office, and we just got an agreement done. It came out great. Really happy with the state side of what they wanted in the agreement. I signed it. I signed it at our city council meeting on Monday, and we're all happy. And I just wanted to say thank you, and please thank the people in your office. It worked out very well. It really did, and I'm just happy. I'm just very happy. I just wanted to tell you that.
Well, we really appreciate that kind of feedback. You know, one of the charges that I gave my team upon coming on board is that, you know, we really have to view ourselves as a customer service agency. You know, all of us are working these jobs because we want to be of service to the state and to the people. So it's really important to us that we are customer service facing, that we, you know, process permits and authorizations timely to, you know, allow business and investment and commerce to move forward. So we really appreciate that feedback.
Thank you. And this carbon credit program, that's customer service for both a user and the residents of the state of Alaska with a new income stream. So there it is right there.
No, that's absolutely right. And one of the kind of cool things about all of this is that the Alaska Supreme Court has held that our underground storage space, that is kind of the you know, the empty pore space in the rocks, is actually considered to be a mineral interest of the state. And so the implications that has is that if the state charges, for instance, a company money to inject carbon under the ground, 25% of that will actually go to growing our permanent fund. So this is an activity that can not only diversify our economy, diversify income streams to the state, and help, you know, resolve some of the fiscal challenges that we face, but it'll also grow our permanent fund at the same time.
That's the best of both worlds there, sir. That's a great way to do it, too. You're coming into your budget season down in Juneau. How's that going for you?
You know, we'll see when the proverbial fat lady has sung.
I was thinking the same thing, yeah. You never know until you know.
That's right.
Oh, well, we got about a minute left. How do you want to end it up, sir, before I let you go and you get back to work and I do what I do on the radio?
Well, we, you know, again, just really appreciate this time and opportunity to come and talk to you and to your listeners about, you know, these carbon offset opportunities. You know, we recognize these are definitely new concepts. These are, you know, things that we as Alaskans have never really thought about. We understand some of the sensitivity that folks have about, you know, oh, you know, we don't want this leading to, you know, a regulatory environment in the state where carbon taxes or carbon fees are being imposed on the citizens of Alaska or on businesses that are, you know, doing their activities here. And that's absolutely not, you know, our goal and intent. You know, we want to keep Alaska open for business. We just recognize that there's a growing world of opportunities in this carbon credit space, and for people that want to do this voluntarily because of their own business interests or financial interests or what have you, we're just happy to facilitate that to create more opportunities for the people of the state of Alaska and develop the state's resources in ways that are, you know, in line with our constitutional mandate.
Commissioner Boyle, thank you so much for the time and the conversation. You have a great day, and as this comes to fruition, we'll get you back on again, okay?
Thanks, David.
Yep, you have a great day. Bye. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break now.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Hours after being found guilty of murder and weapons charges, disbarred South Carolina attorney Alec Murdaugh was sentenced today by Judge Clifton Newman for the shooting deaths of his wife and youngest son.
I sentence you to prison for murdering him for the rest of your natural life. Those sentences will run consecutive.
Murdaugh addressed the court prior to his sentencing, maintaining his innocence. President Biden today awarding the Medal of Honor to 83-year-old retired Lieutenant Colonel Paris Davis for his actions during the Vietnam conflict.
He became an Army Ranger. Then he jumped at the chance to join the Green Berets, becoming one of the nation's first black special forces officers.
Davis was seriously wounded while ensuring his team made it to safety. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
A proposed overhaul of Alaska's public retirement system would provide a new pension plan for state workers and is seen by supporters as a way to address concerns with recruiting and retaining employees. Half of the Senate's 20 members have signed on to the bill, sponsored by Senate Majority Leader Kathy Geisel, a Republican. The measure was outlined Wednesday by members of the bipartisan coalition that controls the Senate. Coalition members said a 2006 move from a pension plan to a 401k-style plan has contributed to difficulties recruiting state workers. Lawmakers have heard about worker shortage impacts and how a revamped retirement offering could improve Alaska's competitiveness in seeking workers, the Anchorage Daily News reported. Alaska is the only state where all newly hired public employees only have a 401k-style defined contribution plan as their primary retirement benefit. Keith Brainerd, research director with the National Association of State Retirement Administrators, said in an email to the Associated Press. While retirement issues are a priority for the Senate majority, the proposal's prospects are unclear.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
It's almost time for the 77th running of the Open North American Sled Dog Championships. This is one of the most exciting events in Fairbanks, with three great days of the fastest sprint teams taking to the trails around Fairbanks. Racing starts and ends at the Dog Mushers Hall on March 17th through the 19th. ADMA thanks the sponsors, including Doy Unlimited, Tananaw Chiefs Conference, Animate Pet Foods, the City of Fairbanks, Hampton Inn and Suites, and the Comfort Inn. We'll see you at the races.
A cherished friend is back in town. Silver Gulch invites you to a fun evening of food, beer, and friendship. The fantastic selection of Silver Gulch beers are on tap. The menu speaks for itself, with some old favorites and some delicious new selections, too. It's a short drive to historic downtown Fox and the warmth and charm of the Silver Gulch Brewery. And remember, the bar opens at 3:30 Fridays through Sundays. Make your plans soon for the Silver Gulch.
What if I were to tell you Alaska could lose our physicians and surgeons? And if you're on Medicare, you may never find a local doctor again. Healthcare in Alaska is already stretched thin. We all feel it. Physician recruitment is a struggle. Specialists, surgeons, and family practice providers are few and far between. But it could get worse. There may be a crisis adding fuel to the fire. Health insurers like Premier Blue Cross are advocating for a change to the 80th percentile payment rule. They claim the rule makes healthcare more expensive, but it doesn't. Alaska's 80th percentile rule ensures the best and brightest physicians and surgeons come to our state. It makes sure they can keep their practices open so you have accessible care and treatment. Removing the 80th percentile payment rule only reduces what insurance pays, leaving you with higher medical bills. Call the governor today. Contact your state lawmakers. Protect the 80% rule. Save Alaska's healthcare system.
Paid for by Alaska Fracture and Orthopedic Clinic, Imaging Associates, Medical Network of Alaska, Internal Medicine Associates, McKinley Orthopedic, Alaska Pediatric Surgery, and Alaska Pediatric Oncology.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Perus in the studio, and Mike Hajdukovic on the phone with me. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. That's pretty funny. You didn't go through all the brothers, though, before you got...
You know...
I do to my kids now.
You know, I didn't go Bob, Jim, John.
Whatever your name is.
Yeah, I didn't go through your sisters either, so what the heck, you know, but...
No, I know. That was pretty good, man.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I was just telling you before the show started, I said, I hope this is a three-hour show because I haven't been on the show in so long. I got about 3 hours worth of yapping I could do about what's going on.
Well, we'll start getting you on Fridays. After all, it's we're coming into the weekend. It's about what we got, opportunities we have over the weekend, things we get to do. And what's your recommendations this weekend? You know, it's beautiful out. It's going to be about 5-10 above, some cross-country skiing maybe.
Man, you got a smorgasbord of stuff going on. I mean, yeah, the sun is coming up, and it's all about the windows of when you want to do stuff right now. I mean, the best time during the day is in the middle of the afternoon. Heck yeah, skiing has been epic. This winter has been epic, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
Beautiful snow coverage, gentle temperatures. I mean, I'm ready for 20 above, but I do see it coming. You know, but it's always warmer up on the hill. But heck, you've got UAF hockey that's going on. They're not allowed to lose, or they're out of the playoffs, so that's going to be some hot action there. I've got, you know, because we run the yoga studio over here, and one of our yogis is doing the Dark Winter Night, which is at the Herring Auditorium on Saturday night, so those are Alaska stories to be heard. There's big junior national races where the top 400 young athletes, high school age-ish, are coming to Fairbanks, and they do it like once every 15 years or something, I don't know, where they're going to come compete on Birch Hill. So if you ever want to see what makes skiing exciting looking, or what you could do if you put the time in, this is what you can do on those little skinny sticks. Man, they're and I love, you know what, UAF is doing a great job of rolling out the red carpet for these kids so that hopefully we get some of them to sign on the bottom line when they're ready for college. But, man, you got ice sculptures going on. You've got
a wrestling tournament going on.
Yeah.
At Tannenbaum Middle School. Oh, yeah, I got that going on. It's like you said, it's an epic weekend. So if you're going to watch the cross-country ski races up at Birch Hill, what time do you get there at?
So it's going to be, I believe, the 11th through the 14th. And it's actually, they will, for the first time, I believe, close down trails to the public because it's a pretty big deal where we don't want to mess up chances of the kids doing something. But this is going to be during spring break. We got another week, so I'll yap about it one more time. But, you know, right now, get your skiing in to see if you can ski like a junior Olympian, a junior national.
Practice up.
Speaking of which, when I was going to text you that I was dropped, the first picture that comes up, you guys, is Dave and I in front of the store. We're levitating with his new pair of skis, which he confessed he has not used yet because he's waiting on my private lesson.
So your expert tutelage.
Let's go.
You got it. Yeah.
So yeah, skiing is wonderful out there. You can rent stuff and buy stuff, and it's just go ski, get outside and play, wear the right clothes. Who cares what the temperature is? Go catch those northern lights that have been just going nutso at night, huh?
Yes. Yes. And today's also First Friday.
Yeah, and we're not doing a First Friday up a track, so I'm kind of happy because I never get to go walk around and see what the heck is cooking on all these. There's got to be how many? I don't know, 15 different First Friday events around town.
I believe so. Yeah, it's you know, as sunlight comes out, we get more active, and it's March, and it's my favorite month. It's when you know you can get up at 7 a.m. and you start seeing stuff, and you're going to bed at 7 a.m. But it's 20 above to 20 below. And it's this great blue hue colors. The northern lights are active. It's just a great time to be in Fairbanks, Alaska, and be outside.
Yeah, it is. You know, just jump on a road and go point your car in any direction and just, you know, get your pictures, your screensavers for the mountains in the background. Yeah, it's just endless beauty out there right now.
Do you do any downhill skiing?
I don't, but I still have, I'm as bad as you. I've got brand new stuff sitting in the garage from about 5 years ago, and I vowed that I would get up to Ski Land or get up to Moose. VMAX has been tagging us a lot,
yeah,
from Moose Mountain with all the powder runs that are up there, so that's on my bucket list. Heck yeah, it's been wonderful skiing. I'm hearing tons of people. They've been calling me for ski rentals because I think they're out or backed up there. So get your stuff taken care of before you get into the weekend when you go downhill skiing here. It's that good.
I saw him the other night. He just got back from Heavenly Valley skiing, and he had a great 3 days there. And he's also announcing hockey tournaments this weekend too. So you got that going on. You have everything going on. Are the Nanooks playing in Fairbanks, or are they outside this weekend?
Their last home games of the season.
Wow.
Played for the Nooks, otherwise I wouldn't have known that factoid. But these are really big games, and they have to win both games in regulation, not shootout stuff, not overtime stuff. It has to be clean wins these two nights in a row, so get out there and pack that Carlson Center for those Nanooks. They are exciting to watch. That is really fun family entertainment there. It's great lighting. It's fun music. VMAX is on the speaker playing good music. And, man, it's a really fun venue for a Friday or a Saturday night for everybody.
And, you know, I always look at it, this weekend is their playoff season starts. They got to win both to move on. If they don't win both, they probably won't move on. So they're in the playoffs starting this weekend. So Fairbanks, go out there and enjoy it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And I don't care if you're not a hockey person. I'm not a hockey person, so I don't understand three quarters of what the heck is going on out there. But you will feel the excitement and the energy of what those kids are doing out there. Man, they work their tails off. And when that goal gets behind that line and we score, it's loud. I love it. It's a fun thing to get behind. Good kids.
Now, when you're coming into spring in business, you're setting up your summer. So what are you setting up for summer?
Summertime, we're lake junkies. And, you know, I was just telling somebody the ultimate Alaskan lifestyle would be bust your butt all winter long, work your tail off, and try to go slow in the summer because you just don't want to sleep. There's so much to do. So I like to gravitate towards water. And there's different types of water that you can enjoy in Alaska and Fairbanks. And I'm lakes. I love lakes. So, you know, paddle boarding, boating, water skiing, wake surfing, you name it. It's anything on the water is going to be. And I keep asking all these firefighters because they've got the skinny on the weather that's coming down the pipeline. I believe it this week they're supposed to announce, you know, because they do extensive research as to what's coming down the pipeline weather-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I've heard good news. Like, it's going to be a nice summer. So, yeah, get your summer stuff in line. Like, product-wise, you know, running a retail store, it's similar environment to the last 2 years. Better in some ways, same in others, and worse in others. You know, the prices of everything have gone up. But availability is still kind of hit and miss. So you still got to kind of look ahead to see if this is what we want to do this summer. It's never too soon to get your stuff taken care of, whether it's buying canoes or kayaks or paddle boards, of course, or whatever it is that you want to do, boats, cars, all that kind of stuff. You got to still plan ahead.
You know, it seems like paddle boarding on the Chino would be a lot of fun.
It is, because, you know, people are worried about it at first. And I go, well, it's just flat water and gently moving. Like, you can lay on whatever it is you're floating on, not paddle or do a thing, and 99% of the time you're going to be okay. The only thing I worry about is boats coming down the middle, so I just always encourage people and myself, like, you know, if you're not paying attention, which is easy not to because you're just looking at the beavers, the fox, the beautiful scenery out there, that, you know, I don't go down the middle of the fairway. I kind of stick to the side just in case.
What is a good paddleboard setup cost? A range?
Between $300 and $2,000.
Like
anything, you can get lighter in carbon and then longer and faster if you want to be fast, or wider and bigger and heavier for fishing and whatnot to multi-purpose. You can put an outboard on some of these things now, which is kind of fun. So you can put your dogs and coolers and all your fun for the day on one board and then get out there and paddle. But doesn't matter. Just get on something. Get outside.
Do you rent them?
We do. Yes, we rent them, and there's other places that rent them in town. And, yeah, don't wait for weather ever in Alaska. I don't care if it's summer, spring, fall, or winter, but as long as you're dressed appropriately, you'll enjoy whatever outdoor activity you're doing. Just got to wear the right clothes so that if it's, you know, it's too rainy, it's too cold, it's too hot, there's fixes for all that are easy, but just don't wait.
Yeah.
Time's ticking fast. It really doesn't slow down thankfully, until after the new year. And that's when it's nice to have a time to reset, slow down.
There you go. Mike, we're going to take a quick commercial break, okay?
Okey-doke.
Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Unexpected injuries happen, can be expensive, and time-consuming. McKinley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is the first orthopedic urgent care in Fairbanks. Their team of board-certified surgeons, physicians, and physician's assistants are all trained in orthopedic and sports medicine. Sprains and strains to dislocations and broken bones, McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine's professionals are standing by to help. No referrals are needed, and walk-ins are welcome. Open extended hours from 8 to 8 Monday through Friday and 10 to 8 on Saturdays. Visit McKinleyOrtho.com or stop by on Geist Road, right across from Hutchinson High School.
Wings on Wednesdays for just $1.50 each. That's every Wednesday at Big Daddy's. Wings the way you like them. Slow smoked and delicious with great choice of styles, including original buffalo and sweet honey barbecue, to name just a few. Come by Wednesday for wings at Big Daddy's and load your plate up with some of those sides that speak Southern, like collard greens, red beans and rice, and so many other choices. It's the award-winning northernmost Southern barbecue. Big Daddy's on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd Avenue.
Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies every Saturday at 5:30 on KFAR Radio with your host, David Pruse, discussing everything food in Fairbanks, from awesome recipes to all of your favorite local restaurants. Brought to you by Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, Hoodoo Brewery, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies and go to the archives page of KFARradio.com to listen to any past episodes. Fairbanks Foodies, Saturdays at 5:30 on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
You know how I look forward to our little chats. I admit I do most of the talking, but as a septic tank buried in my family's yard, I don't get out much. My last company was a moose who dropped by for some freeze-dried geraniums. Her table manners were atrocious. I have but one job. My life expectancy is excellent. Bigfoot Pumpin' and Thawin' pumps me out once a year. I continue to serve my family much better.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Find Bridgestone and Cooper tires for every car, truck, motor, home, and SUV you drive. Everything you tow. GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR. Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Today, with daytime highs approaching one above. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight, chance of snow. Lows level off around 19 below. Chance for snow tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 4 above, partly cloudy. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Mike Hajdukovic calling in. How you doing, sir?
Hey, pretty good. You know, just during commercial break, I remind myself that I haven't got to say congratulations, Mayor, for your big W, man. That is so refreshing. Every time you've got an article in the paper, and I still get the paper at my mail, you know, at the bottom of my driveway, that there's always something refreshing that you've got that you're working on. So thank you for all the stuff that you're doing. I don't know how you have time to even do shows like this, but thanks for making time for that, too.
You know, Mike, I'm having the time of my life. I really am. Doing a lot of neat things that I've wanted to do. I still got my real estate company going. That's doing very good. Work with some great people in that. Working down at City Hall is just fantastic. The people I get to work with there and the projects I'm working on. I go in after lunch today. I'm meeting with some people thinking about wanting to develop the whole Polaris Bar Block. And so, again, you know, it's coming to fruition. It's just wonderful. You know, I get to have two radio programs and I got time to do that. You know, I segment my time out very well. And, you know, as you work down here at the station, there's this really fine people down here. So I'm just like a kid in a candy store with all the really refreshing, wonderful, fine people that I get to work with on these projects. It really is. It's just humbling. It's very humbling.
Well, you're doing a really good job of depoliticizing a political job, if that makes any sense, right?
Like, yeah, it does.
Because you enjoy it, and it is fun. Well, that fun comes out with the projects that you do and the folks that you bring out the best and the folks that are on those teams that are working on stuff. And that's the way politics should be run, right? It's refreshing. You just don't see that this day and age. So you're going to make other folks think they could put their neck out there and help their communities too at all the different levels. So
About once a week, I get a call from my brother Dana in Anchorage, and he goes, "You got to get it. You got to get controversy going up there like you have down here in Anchorage." I go, "No. I'm going to be a fairly boring mayor, Dana."
yes. Just keep it nice and fun up here. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Too many other things to worry about.
But this summer, and I want you to hold me to it, you know, we're going to go cross-country skiing here sometime, a couple times this month, and you're going to show me how to do it, how to work the gear and everything. But I've never done paddle boarding before, and I so want to do that.
It's thrilling because you feel like you're walking on water, and there's a real fear in a lot of people of doing that, along with skiing. You know, it's the same thing. If you tell somebody, let's go skiing, well, a lot of times they've had previous experiences or their own ideas of what that could be in their mind. So, man, taking one lesson or just coming in and listening to me yap at you for about 20 minutes for a half hour, and then you go out and do that thing, and you just feel like you climbed Mount McKinley or something. And that's me. It gives you one more reason to get excited to go appreciate what we have up here. So,
yep. You ready for a phone call?
Ready.
Okay, last time we had a gentleman, the commissioner, on, and he couldn't hear what they said, so let's see if we can get it to work this time. Here we go.
Okay.
Oh, we lost him. How about that? Darn. And it wasn't me. He hung up before we got there. But also this fall, I'm going to be going sheep hunting again, and I'm really looking forward to that. So I got to get in a little bit better shape, and I'm in better shape now than when I started that project 2 years ago, and I went 2 years ago. So I try and get out sheep hunting every other year. You know, what the heck? Go climb a mountain when you're 63 years old. What the heck?
Mm-hmm. Well, whatever you do to get in shape, you have to treat it like you are treating the job of being mayor. It's got to be fun. If it turns into work, you don't want to do it. So we got to get out on those ski trails, because if I can get you hooked skiing, then you're going to be getting in the best shape of your life for that sheep hunt, and you're not even going to care two bits about anything else other than the fun that you're having. It's not workout. It's not work. It's just fun, and it turns into just a healthy lifestyle, you know? So
yeah, you know. In the summer, what I try and do on Saturday and Sundays with my dog, my Dalmatian Berlin, I call it the trifecta. And what we do is the first thing in the morning, we take a 20-25 minute walk. We have a little pathway in the downtown area that we avoid cars, so he's off leash. Then we go up to Birch Hill, and we're up there on Birch Hill for 30 to 40 minutes. And then on the way down, we hit Kramer's Field for 25 to 30 minutes. And it's just a great way to start a weekend day. You know, you start about 7:30 in the morning, and by 9 o'clock, you've had three really good walks and a hike in there, and you're just feeling so energetic, and now you're going to go do other stuff.
Yeah, and if you've got a dog, that is a partner that will not let you forget your routine.
No, he does not.
About the size of an ant. If you think you're going to try to get out of the second walk of the day, well, look at their face and tell me it's going to be an easy job to say no to a second walk.
And every morning, and you know, we have what we call the cycle. You know, I let him out, and then he comes back in. He hogs down his food. Then he gets his treat. Then he goes to the door. Let's go for our walk, Dad. Let's go for our morning walk. And it's what we do every morning in the summer. You know, it's great. It really is. Or spring, summer, and fall, I should say.
That gets you out to do that. Get a friend, because a friend will also hold you accountable to,
yeah,
to something a little bit more exciting to do and make you hold yourself a little more accountable to taking time out for yourself and someone else.
There you go. So what's your plans for tonight and tomorrow? Just first Friday, maybe some hockey?
When you're on break, well, first of all, I always say, why walk when you can glide? And so the types of skiing, I should go over that again, because it's been a year. Heck, it's probably been 2.5 years with COVID. Who knows, since we talked about there's so many different ways to ski. You've got our groom systems, which I say are world-class, between UAF and Birch Hill. Those are probably top five venues in the country, everybody, and they're free. I mean, they're donation-based. They're run by wonderful clubs. But the lights are on at these venues till 10 o'clock at night. They meticulously take care of that snow so that you have the best balance and the best kick or glide that you can possibly get anywhere.
I call them crown jewels of Fairbanks. I really do.
They are. And then you can also ski out your back door, and that's super fun. There's there's different skis that shine in different type of environments. You know, if I'm going to go ski on a snow machine trail, it's nice to have something a little bit wider.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need metal on your skis. Metal is just heavier. It's made for stability or maybe made for cutting edges in to make turns going down a hill. But other than that, you don't necessarily need metal. But a little wider ski, because there's snow machine marks, there's dog marks, moose marks, walking shoes. Like at Kramer's Field, it's nice to have even like an Altai Hawk type ski. Where these skis are, they're really short. They only come up to about your chest or stomach height, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And your winter boot goes into them. You don't need a binding. They've got a mohair bottom, and they've got little metal edges. So it's just like a snowshoe that gives you the chance to glide a little bit. So it just makes everything a little bit more interesting. Not dangerous. You won't fall, I promise. And if you do, you just get right back up, because you're only going as fast as those right and left feet can make you go. So, yeah, and I think that I always tell folks, they go, I'm too nervous. I go, well, that's good, because you don't get nervous when you're walking or jogging.
Yeah.
So I think that the nervousness is neat, because you're going to overcome that, and that's going to make you excited to do something different that you hadn't done before and keep at it, and you want to get better at it. So, there's all different types of skiing and different venues, and Tana Lakes is getting ready to have a big old outdoor party, right, going on. I thought I just saw that pop up. Bryant Wright is out there always doing work on those trails and the ice rink at the end of South Cushman.
Yep. Ready for a phone call?
Yeah.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Mike Hajdukovic, and your name is?
Hey, this is Eve.
Hello, Eve.
Let me shut up the radio real quick. I want to remind everybody that the Aster Retro Spiel
from
the curling up here in Fairbanks is tomorrow and Sunday. And I'll read you the sponsors: Aster Park, Aster Fire Department, Goldie's, Ursa Major Distilling, Aster Gas, and John Pender and his Ice Dragon, which means as the
fire pit is firing,
I got this.
Are trying to curl on the ice rink,
not knowing
where the heck the rocks will go. It is a marvelous thing to go to, have some eat, some drinks, and fun.
Thank you very much for the.
Bye.
Thank you. You have a great weekend. Thank you. Yeah, I got to get this phone system here worked on. You know, Perry Wall, he gives me this stuff from North Korea, and I got all the right buttons on. But you know something? You're not hearing what they're saying on the other line. So, oh well, I'll get it figured out.
Did the public get to hear it?
Yeah, the public gets to hear it, but you, you can't hear what she's saying.
Okay.
Yeah, and it happened with the call today with Commissioner John Boyle of the Department of Natural Resources. He couldn't hear what a question from a caller in was saying. So I gotta have upper management look at that.
call me bad names, then I wouldn't be offended then.
Exactly, but they're usually doing that to me. So what the heck? Oh goodness! But you know that Tanana Lakes, that is such an incredible opportunity for people to take advantage of. It really is spring, summer, winter, fall. It's got something for everyone. You can even go duck hunting out there.
Yeah, and I always tell people, it's part of my sales pitch every day, all these things that we have in Fairbanks, they're free. You can do them anytime you want. I love that South Cushman area because it's out by the river, so the views out there are just fabulous, and everything's flat. There's no hills, so if you're worried about hills, and they're multi-use, so you can bring dogs and kids, it doesn't matter. Snow machines, yeah, it's a wonderful playground for outdoors, that whole section of the city.
That is great. Well, we got about a half minute, sir. How do you want to end her?
Well, I guess a couple things. Next week, well, we got 2 weeks, St. Patty's Day. We're going to be celebrating that with beer yoga at Trax Outdoor Center, you know.
Green beer yoga?
If you've ever come to yoga before, it might be the first time.
It might be my last time.
Last time, and it is for a lot of those folks out there.
Beer yoga. Oh, my goodness. Well, of course. That's a good temptation for yoga.
Yes, it is. It'll bring Tim Mowry out. It's about the only time of year I see Tim Mowry is at beer yoga, once a year.
There you go. Well, hey, you have a great weekend, and I greatly appreciate it, and I'll talk to you later.
You too. Thanks.
And Fairbanks, you have a great weekend, lots of stuff to do, and I'll see you next Monday.